Please remember to support us with your tithe and offering sometime today, if you will. We do need your support. We don't know what this is going to cost. It's not going to cost as much as a new compressor, but it won't be free, I'm pretty sure. And so we do need your support. Jeremiah chapter 17. I want to take for a topic this morning the thoughts of the heart. The thoughts of the heart. When the Bible uses that term, it uses it, it's talking about the seat of our emotions, the seat of our desires, and the seat of our thoughts. It's what you and I might refer to as our imagination. And imagination is a gift from God. If you ever think about the importance of imagination, without it, there would be no art, there would be no music, there would be no progress forward in life. We would be stagnant and stale. Many of us, when we are younger, you probably imagine one day you would grow up and you would own your own house, or you would be a spouse. Or you imagined, when I grow up, I'll go to this school and I'll get this education, I'll work in this industry. All of that happens because of imagination. And once we imagine something, our life then begins to trend towards what it is that we've imagined. That's how it works. And so then it would be overly obvious that our imagination should be producing positive thoughts, good thoughts. Because imagination, when it's not under discipline, when it's not under control, you can imagine yourself into a depression. You can imagine yourself into an actual physical sickness. And so today I want to talk for just a little bit about the imagination. It is your own world. God gave you your own world right in your imagination. You can create anything in your imagination that you want to, and the person right beside you doesn't know what you're doing. It's all up here. You can be anything you want to be in your imagination. You can create any scenario, even if it violates the laws of physics. You can fly in your imagination. Do anything that you want to do. But one thing that we all must be aware of is that although the person beside you, your closest person in the world, cannot walk into your imagination to see what you're conjuring up, that God is in every one of our imaginations. He is omniscient. He walks through the thoughts of men's hearts as though they were outward expressions. And so in Jeremiah, we have this information from the Lord. It's not really a warning, but it certainly is information. Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. Now again, the heart is the seat of our thoughts and our desires and our will. And God is saying, I search throughout all of those elements and I try the reins. The reins speaks of the hidden desires, motives, and feelings that we carry internally. And God is saying, I walk amongst those. In each and every one of us, he dwells. He sees all of that as though it were as real as an outward expression. And he says to even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So it's important for us when we are using this wonderful gift of imagination that we understand that God is in the midst of that. And that we make sure that we take control of our thoughts and bring everything into subjection to his kingship. Are you with me this morning? Pornography is a multi-billion dollar industry based on the misuse of imagination. Think about that. And it's not one or two people. It is millions upon millions of people misusing their imagination. And that's just one example. There are many examples. Most people would never commit adultery until they first have to imagine it in their mind. Most people won't go rob a bank. They got to imagine it in their mind first. And none of us are any greater than our mind. If we fail in our mind, it's just a matter of time before we fail externally. And so the key to overcoming or to using the imagination correctly is to make sure that we bring it into subjection to Jesus Christ so that he is the Lord of our imaginations. And he'll take lordship if you let him. I've said this any number of times, and it's kind of humorous until it wasn't. But I would say that, you know, this deal we got going on in Washington for the past 10 years, really, if God would just give me the power for just 2 days, I can straighten it all out. I can fix it all until God began to deal with me about that and let me know that if I, God, is not fixing it, what attitude in mind do I have that I'm in conflict with God? And it brought me to the place to realize that he's God and I am not. And the reason he didn't give me the power is because he's God and I'm not. And so we can get ourselves in trouble with God by just the use of our imagination, which sooner or later, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. Now, it shocks me to see in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and I'm speaking in relationship to Noah's flood, the flood of Noah's day, in which God killed every human being on the planet. All of the animals on the planet, except for the 8 people and the animals that were in the ark, everything else died. It was a floating carcass, and God let that happen. He caused it to happen. And here he gives us the reason. Verse 5 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This lets us know, as did the last verse, that God will respond to you based on what you allow in your imagination. Now, your imagination doesn't have control of you. That's your brain. You have a living spirit inside of you that has to bring not just your body, but your whole man, imagination, everything into subjection to Christ. That's what sanctification is. And there may be things that you could get away with 5 years ago that God, he doesn't like that. Now it's time for you to come out of that. That's how it was for a long time. I was thinking, man, I'd fix that thing in Washington in a heartbeat until God began to deal with me. And now I'm under conviction. And so I practice now in my mind, whenever that comes up, whenever that thought comes up in my mind, I immediately bring that to Jesus Christ. I will do what Jesus says do. And right now he's not doing nothing. So right now, I'm not going to do nothing. So it's important to understand that God will hold us accountable to what's in our imaginations. And that you, as an individual, you have the power to control your thoughts. I spoke to a relative 2-3 weeks ago. This relative was telling me for the past several years she had been dealing with bouts of depression. And I wasn't talking about any of this. We were just talking openly. She had been dealing with bouts of depression, and she said it, not I. She said, "I just wasn't controlling my thoughts." And she thought her own self into a depression. Now, sometimes depression can be a chemical imbalance, but many times it's not. Victimhood. I'm a victim. Are you really? Or has your imagination made you a victim? It's quiet in here. I mean, if you got on the best gear, you got on fresh Nikes, you got a $2,000 iPhone in your hand, and a bottled pure water, are you really a victim? Or do you just need to look away from yourself how the majority of the world is living to realize that God has blessed you greatly? Now, God gives us instruction on how we are to handle our minds. And we read it and we read right past it. But this is instructions on how to handle your imagination. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 8. But before I do that, every person, you have a mental capacity. You only have a finite capacity and how many thoughts can be in your head. And to bring in the right thoughts, that's going to have to push some of the bad stuff out. I mean, it's hard to praise God when you have a pornography addiction because they're contrary to one another. Something's got to go. That's a conflict. And so he says in Philippians, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true," meaning whatsoever things are genuine and trustworthy, "and whatsoever things are honest," meaning they're noble and respectable, "and whatsoever things are just," meaning they're righteous, they're fair, Whatsoever things are pure, meaning they're clean and they're holy. And whatsoever things are lovely, meaning they're kind and gracious. And whatsoever things are of a good report, being commendable or admirable. If there be any virtue that is moral excellence, or if there be any praise, if it's worth any praise, he tells us specifically, think on these things. That lets you know that you and I, as human beings, have the ability to think on what we have to think. We do this all the time. A wild thought comes into your mind, and you have to push it out. Anybody with me? We live most of our lives pushing wild sexual thoughts out of our mind, especially the brothers, because we're built like that. We got chemicals. That's how we're... I don't want to say that. But traditionally, it has been the role of the man to be active in pursuing a spouse for life. And so that's how we're wired. And sometimes you can have a spouse, but one of those rogue thoughts come in and you have to push that out and say, you can't make a nest here. The problem is when a thought comes in and we begin to romance it. We begin to make it comfortable dwelling within our mind. But God says, no, here's what you think on. Whatsoever things are good and pure and lovely, of a good report. Things that are honest and that are clean. And when you practice yourself dwelling on that, you find that many of the rogue thoughts, they have no room in your mind. As soon as they come, there's such a conflict to what's already inside of you. You realize immediately that's not of God. I push that out. Jesus told us that out of our hearts, because of the fall, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. We can allow ourselves to not be disciplined, and we will begin to produce evil within our own thought life. And because it's private, it is the ultimate private area that nobody can tell. You can be sitting right next to somebody, but in your imagination, you're somewhere else. And Jesus said himself that it's out of the heart that evil thoughts proceed. And you and I, we have to be disciplined in making sure that the thoughts that we have are worthy to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne of our hearts. He can't be the king of your heart and the rest of your heart's all renegade. For out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. And I'm just going to add a couple more. Victimhood, jealousy, depressions. All that comes out of the heart. And so part of sanctification, this is part of it, is that we have got to control our thoughts. You're no greater than your mind. Now, this hits every area of our life. I know I'm preaching good, even though it's quiet in here. This hits every aspect of our life. I can remember times that I'm in my car and I'm thinking about something that my wife might have said or did. She's not even there and I'm getting angry. And so since she's not there, I have an imaginary argument with her in my own mind. And by the time that I pull over, I'm ready for a throwdown. I'm so mad because I've let my imagination run away with me. She don't even know it. She's not even involved. She does nothing. I done built it all up in my mind. And we can all do that. And what you need to do is you need to acknowledge Jesus Christ and ask him to talk you down off the ledge. Because you're right on the brink of causing destruction in your relationship because you're imagining something that's not real and you're responding to it. And what you really should have been doing is thinking on these things, whatsoever things are good and lovely. Instead of thinking about how your spouse made you angry, think of why you love her. Dwell on that. Think of that one thing that she does, nobody else does. That one thing, it drives you crazy, but that's why you love her. Think on that thing. And you'll find that it begins to build you up. Your thoughts are going to tear you down or they're going to build you up. And most of us are like this. We're up and down and up and down because we simply don't control what we allow to be in our mind. If you look at somebody and say, man, in your imagination, of course, because you would never say this out loud because you're a Christian, right? But in your mind, you're thinking, man, I like that. In your mind, you're thinking, I'm getting with that. And so every now and then, you enjoyed that imagination so much. Am I being too real? Enjoyed that imagination so much that you conjure it up on purpose later on. Let me imagine that again. And again. And again. And it won't be long before you begin physically to trend towards your imagination, where it's taking you, where your imagination is taking you. This is how we get ourselves in trouble in every aspect of life. Is we think wrong thoughts and our life begins to trend towards what we think. We're built that way. When you imagine it, something for yourself, you'll move towards it. And so you have to make sure that what's in your mind, what you're thinking, what you allow in your thought life, that's holy and that is righteous, because you're going to move in that direction. Do you remember that the Bible said that the man of sin sits in the temple of God? Do you remember that? Well, this is the temple of God. And the man of sin symbolically is the man of rebellion. That which is in rebellion to God can sit right in the temple of God, showing itself that it is God. And so we have to be very careful, because God killed the whole world based on the imagination. The hearts of every man was evil continually. But what do you think he's going to do with just a single individual, you or me, that allow these wicked, evil imaginations to persist within our lives? Paul says this in 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse 4, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, this warfare that we're talking about, it's a spiritual warfare, but it also overlaps into mentally, intellectually, what we think. Because Satan he'll drop a seed in your mind. What do you think? Do you realize in the garden, when Eve was in the garden, Satan didn't tackle her and stick that forbidden fruit in her mouth? He just dropped a seed in her imagination. And in a short amount of time, that seed grew into the original expression of rebellion. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Right there. Stop right there. Sometimes our imaginations can produce strongholds in our lives. They can produce things in our lives and we shuck it off. Well, that's just how I roll. That's just my attitude. No. Nothing's off the table with God. He changes everything. And we can have strongholds built within our imagination, built within our personal, private thought life, that have to be cast down. An excellent example is pornography. That is a stronghold that can be built in a person's mind. It's all imagination. I mean, you're looking at pixels on the screen. You're looking at lights. It's not, there's nothing there even real, but it provokes the imagination. And this is how Satan is very cunning. And once the imagination is provoked, the body begins to move in evil. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the intent that they can pull down the strongholds. Here's how. Casting down imaginations. There it is. That means God has given us the responsibility of inspecting our imaginations and casting down the one. If you wouldn't show it to your wife, your husband, if you wouldn't show that thought in your imagination to your pastor, if you wouldn't present it to God, cast it down. It's not right. Is that good? Cast it down. He said to the casting down imaginations and here's something else, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, what that simply means is that all of us at different degrees and levels, we know what who God is, we know what pleases him, and we know what does not please him. And he's saying, while you're casting down imaginations, any other renegade thought that's running through your mind that is in rebellion to who God is and what God desires, cast that down with that rogue imagination. And bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. That's just as plain as he can make it. It means that we have to, our imagination, our thoughts, our whole thought life, it has to be brought into subjection and put at the feet of Jesus Christ. And it's not the Holy Spirit who's going to do that. It's you and I realizing the thought is in my mind that is a wrong thought. I have got to grab a hold of that because we easily have the ability to do that. I've got to grab a hold of that. Don't fall in love with it. Don't romance it. Cast it down. Throw it at Jesus' feet. Say, this is one of the defeated foes that you defeated on the cross that I'm bringing to the feet of Jesus Christ. When we fail to do that, we can cause untold harm in our own lives. You know, there are people that can't really even function correctly because of their own thought life, where they've destroyed their own self simply because of their thoughts. And here's a simple example. You can have one personality whose default mindset is, I can't do that. And you can have another personality, the default mindset is, yeah, I can do it, even if they can't. Even if they can't do it, they're like, yeah, man, I can do it. I've always been that mindset. Even if I can't do it, you're going to have to prove it to me. I'm not taking anybody's word for it, but other personalities are such that I can't do it, and sometimes they can do it, but they just won't push into it. They've already been defeated by their own mind. And you'll find they're some of the angriest personalities. They're mean because they're unhappy, because they've been conquered by their own imagination. And the scripture is saying, you conquer your imagination. You bring your whole body, mind, body, and soul. You bring it all into subjection to Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that you'll need more than anything else in order to do that, you're going to have the Word of God. You have to have it. When you have this Word in your heart, as David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord. When you have this word in your heart and a rogue thought begins to expose itself inside of you, immediately the word of God will attack it. The scripture that contradicts that rogue thought will immediately come up in your mind. Again, take pornography for an example because it's such a good example. If that's the struggle, immediately in scripture, if you know it, it immediately comes up, set no evil thing before thy eye. Immediately it tells you that's wrong. Now, you're in a place that you can choose. The word said this, my imagination is saying that, what do I do? At least but if you don't know the word, you don't have that choice. There's no conflict there other than your own conscience. And so you're going to have the Word of God. It's what it does. It's designed. The Bible said the Word of God is quick and powerful, meaning it's alive and active. And when you get this Word in your heart, and I would even say, you need to understand the entire New Testament and read as much of the Old Testament as you can. But the New Testament is the New Covenant. You got to have that because it's quick, it's powerful. The scripture said it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, meaning that it is sharper than a surgeon's scalpel. It can cut precisely between your thought and your intent. That's good. It can discern. It can open it up so that you can see yourself, because sometimes we can't really see ourselves. Sometimes we really don't know. I just felt like moving in that direction, but we don't analyze all of the inward motivations that moved us there. But the Word of God is quick It's powerful. It's a discerner of both the thought and the intent. In other words, it sees what you're thinking, but it also sees what you're intending. And it can reveal that to you. So immediately you can fulfill your responsibility to bring that thought into alignment with Jesus Christ. I don't think anymore that I need the power from God to go to Washington, straighten things out. When that comes into my mind, I immediately change that thought to this. I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. In the world to come, after the tribulation, in the world to come, the New Testament church, really all of God's people, we will take care of the affairs of Jesus Christ on this planet. As the scripture said, to one he gave one city, to another he gave two cities, and another he gave five cities, or whatever the numbers were, for their responsibility based on their faithfulness. So if that is the case, then I need to show myself faithful in every situation, that I don't impose my own thought on it. I need to know, God, what do you want? And how many know sometimes God doesn't just come out and tell you exactly what he wants? How many's ever experienced that? Am I the only one? But this word will always come back with some kind of example. If you search it out, it'll if you have it in your heart and you meditate upon it, it will show you something. See, we're unhappy people many times because we allow our imagination to not be countered. You know what prejudice is? Prejudice is something that comes from our imaginations. You can't see it. You can't touch it. It's not a real thing. You can't put it under a lens of a microscope and examine it. And many times, now it's one thing if somebody's done you wrong, but when you smear that across a whole class of people, your imagination has run away with you. I'll say this in closing from the book of Psalms, chapter 19. This is King David who wrote Psalms 19, and in the last verse, verse 14, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the secret thoughts of my heart, let them be acceptable in your sight." Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us this wonderful gift of imagination that can propel us forward into a happy, wholesome life. But, oh God, the pitfalls of not being disciplined in what we think, how we mentally examine things. God, we ask you right now for the convicting power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would help us in all of our weakness. Sometimes we just don't know, Lord. Sometimes we just don't know, but we do know we're broken, a broken creation. And we need you, Lord, to help us. Let your conviction live in our heart. Come on, all over the room. If you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet all over the room? I don't know where you are. It's nobody's business where you are except your own. But why don't you lift whatever that may be there up to the Lord? Say, God, this is the area that in my thought life is a failure. This is not pleasing to you in my thought life. This does not please you. And God, although nobody else might know it, you know it. And I need your help to bring this to the foot of Jesus Christ, casting down those imaginations, bringing every thought into subjection to Jesus. Come on, just reach out to the Lord, won't you? Just reach out. He hears your voice. God doesn't just hear me. He hears you. And if you'll reach out, he'll touch you and he'll help you. Come on, just reach out.
Lord God, as we reach out to you, we thank you for meeting us where we are, Lord God. We need your healing, Father. We need your power in our life. We need your word in our life, Father God. We need your correction, Lord God. And we thank you for it all, Lord God. Continue to teach us and train us to submit our imagination to you. Let your word divide the thought and the intention of the thought in our bodies, Lord God, so that we may stay pleasing to your sight. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the seed of your word. We thank you for the watering of your word. And Lord God, we ask, Father, that as we depart from this place, Lord, you help us to meditate on your word throughout the rest of this day and this week. In Jesus' name, we pray and we thank you. Amen. Amen. We want to thank those that have joined us by webcast. Hopefully the seed of the word was planted in your hearts and minds today, and we hope to see you back at the 11 o'clock service. If you have not had a chance to give this morning, please do so. We thank you for your support as well, too. And a couple more announcements. On August the 31st, during both services, communion will be done and given and served. So come with your hearts and minds prepared and ready and clear for August 31st communion. And on September 7th, baptism. We will have a baptism, and I believe everybody that is going to be baptized on that day has already signed up. Amen. With that being said, let's say a quick word of prayer and be dismissed. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you again for your correction. We love you so much, Lord God. Most of all, we thank you for your love toward us. Be with us throughout the rest of this day. And Lord God, we ask, Father, that you will continue to guide our every footstep. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.